On your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
Good morning, and my thanks to Andrew Bensley, Dave Carlson with you, and we're going to talk greyhound racing for the next 30 minutes. We've got some good guests coming up. Anthony Azzopardi is going to join us in just a second. Luke Gatehouse, the boss of the Brisbane Greyhound Racing Club. The carnival's in full swing. Big night coming up Thursday night at Albion Park. Looking forward to being on track there. I'll be on track at Wentworth Park on Saturday night as well. Now, other guests, we've got Bill Elson on the way, the trainer of Cindy's Magic, arguably the most popular greyhound in Australia, and she'll go round in the Gold Cup, the Group 1 at Albion Park on Thursday night. We'll be heading across the Tasman to speak to Peter Fenimore, New Zealand's leading greyhound journalist. And Pete, of course, was at Manukau in Auckland yesterday when Australia's Ring the Bell took out the Group 1 Duke of Edinburgh Silver Collar. And Julie Collier from England will give us the latest on the second round of the English Derby. Well, four semi-finals of the Group 1 Peter Mossman Classic were run and won at Wentworth Park on Saturday night, with Set to Storm for Jody Van Enkhuizen and Peter Lagoziani posting the best time of 29 and 63 after a sizzling first split of 5.41. Mr. Twister for Jason McKay was next best with 29 and 66. The other two semi-winners were Uphill Duel for David Giel, who clocked 29 and 89, and Anthony Azzopardi's Lucky Chap, who got up right on the line in 29 and 95. Now, I can tell you that the box draw for Saturday night's $75,000 final is an interesting one, with several trainers a little worried about where their charges will jump from. The draw is Chase and Crackers from 1, Corrupt Millions 2, Central Bark 3, Lucky Chap 4, Mr. Twister 5, Uphill Duel 6, Yankees Ethics 7, Set the Storm well boxed in 8. The two reserves are Chase the Cash and Reader's Boy. Uphill Jill is the current $2.50 favourite from tab.com.au fixed odds, with Set the Storm at $4.20, Mr. Twister $4.40, and Lucky Chap at $4.60. And Lucky Chap's conditioner, Anthony Azzopardi, is on the line. Ant, firstly, he's drawn the four box with Mr. Twister, who'll want to find the rails directly to his outside. What are your thoughts on the draw?
I think you'll stop Mr. Twister going on the inside, Dave. I think because our bloke wants to get right too. So, look, there's going to be a bit of carnage there, I think. But what can you say, mate? That's where the boxes, that's what they're boxed at. You know, can't really change it.
Well, he clocked a flying 29.56, Anthony, in the Peter Mossman heats. He ran 24.93 in the heat of the Warrnambool Cup and finished fourth in the Golden Easter Egg final at Wendy. So he's definitely got a massive motor. Do you think he can repeat his first split of 5.43 from the Mossman heats?
Yeah, no, I do. I reckon he's usually a really good beginner. He just, Saturday night, he just hesitated at the start a little bit. You know, he was been anxious to get out, really, and he just sort of went back when the lids opened. But look, if he can time them lids, he'll definitely run that first split, and if he finds the front, he'll be hard to beat. But look, it's all about him going straight, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he nailed Central Bark right on the line, and they really had it between them in the semis on Saturday night for the entire race. But as you say, he was jumping up and down a little bit in the boxes, wasn't he? Eager to get out.
Yeah, he was. You know, he does that. He's just a little bit overkeen. You know, I'm just hoping in more racing, he'll just sort of settle down. But look, on come Saturday night, you know, we're just got to hope he times them lids right. If Mr. Twist can miss it a little bit, as he can, that will probably be our little bit of a blessing in disguise. He sort of can step that little bit to the right and then go pretty straight, and he might get that clear run. But I think the world box dog in the race is definitely the 8, that's for sure, and she'll be the one to beat.
Now, you've gone back to your Victorian base with Lucky Chap, Anth. What are you going to do with him between now and next Saturday night?
Oh, look, I'm not going to change nothing. I'll work him tomorrow and Thursday, and just leave him for Saturday. Nothing will change. You just, we'll just keep popping on it. It works for him, and we'll just keep doing what we do with him.
He's still only a young dog. He's still got a very bright future.
He has, you know, he's a nice young dog. He's got a very good record, and you know, he's out of that great Brett Lee. So, he, you know, stud future might be ahead of him yet. But, look, let's see what he can do for his future and we'll see.
Well, speaking of breeding, Anth, your former great chaser Zambora Brocky is now at stud, and I believe his first litter is about to drop.
Yeah, this next week, end of the week, he's going to be our dad. So she's fairly big, so she's due on Saturday. You know, it's pretty exciting. It's our bitch, and, yeah, we're going to have the first litter of Brockies, which is pretty interesting, you know.
Who's the bitch?
Her name is Anastasia.
Yep.
So she's won a few races, and she was a good bitch herself. So it's her first litter. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting, really.
Well, he's only a new sire. Is there a website you can go to, Anthony, for all the information on how to get a service and or straws?
Yeah, mate. He's got his own website. It's www.zamborabrocky.com. He's got all his race replays, Dave, and all his breed and his pedigree, litters he's been out of. And, look, all the information's there, mate. So if they want to go online, yeah, they'll have a good look at her and they can work it out from there.
So it's zamborabrocky.com.au, is it, or just .com?
Yep. .com.au.
Oh, fantastic, Ant. Well, here's to everything being good with the new litter and going forward with Zambora. But in the meantime, I look forward to seeing you on track for Sky Racing 1 on Saturday night at Wentworth Park for the Group 1 Peter Mossman final. Good luck, Anthony, with Lucky Chap, and thanks as always for joining us.
Thanks, Dave.
Anthony has a party there. Well, we go from Anthony's base in Victoria and we're going to head up to Brisbane. And this Thursday night is the final of the Group 1 Albion Park Gold Cup. I'll be on track there. Looking forward to getting back to Bris Vegas. And also the listed Flying Amy Classic. And it's going to be a really, really exciting night as well. And we're going to speak to Luke Gatehouse at some time this morning, sometime in the next half an hour. We'll get Luke on the line, the boss of the Brisbane Greyhound Racing Club. I also want to ask Luke about these plans for two new tracks in southeast Queensland. We've heard what has gone on with Logan. There was going to be a track, and then there's no track going to be there. There's been new plans coming out of Albion Park, but only with a harness racing track and maybe a football ground in the middle. Where those new tracks are going to be and his thoughts on those plans that have been revealed in the past week, looking forward to speaking to Luke about that. In the meantime, we are now joined by Bill Elson. And Bill is the trainer, as I mentioned earlier, of arguably Australia's most popular greyhound, the exciting Cindy's Magic. We just love her, and I'm sure you do too. Bill, thank you for joining us. The way she drops out and flies home, she really has a cult following. I'm sure you love it, but does it make you feel any extra added pressure?
Not really. She's always done that. She has jumped out and led a couple of times in the past, but she's a dog that she's exciting, but you can't really back anything to beat her either.
I think the way that she races adds to the excitement. I don't know. Do you remember a dog probably 7 or 8 years ago in Western Australia called Electra? Bill, she used to drop out even further and fly home.
Well, I don't remember her, but I remember Thingrob. She used to do the same thing. I just can't even think of her name either. She was a stayer too.
I'm trying to think. Electra was the one that that certainly came to mind. I just remember.
It was only a couple of years ago, too, a few years ago.
Okay.
I just can't think of the name, but she used to do the same thing too.
Look, Cindy's Magic has won over the sprint and the middle distance. Her win in the Queensland Cup final earlier this year was just amazing. And she was runner-up in the Gold Cup last year at Albion Park to my boy Brody. Just three runs back, she clocked 41 and 96 in a heat of the Winter Chase final at Albion Park. So maybe she just needs to be a little bit closer, as close as she was in that race when they're heading out of the straight this Thursday night.
Yeah, well, it's not that it's getting a clear run. You know, that's the trouble. You know, like the last two runs she's had, she has caused herself a bit of trouble, and that's what got herself beat.
Well, but she has good track sense. She'll weave in and out of a field.
Well, she'll weave in and out and all that. But on last Thursday night, it wasn't her fault. The dog came in on her. She came on the inside, and the dog came in on her. You know, just bad luck.
Yeah, indeed. Well, look, she's 4 years and 3 months of age.
Yeah.
And trails the great Dashing Corsairs Albion Park winning record of 38 by only 4. You're going to keep her going to give her a tilt at equaling or breaking that mark?
Yeah, well, I'll keep her going until she comes on season, I suppose, and say, okay for me.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So she's obviously displaying plenty of zest for chasing.
Oh, yeah, she's going real well at the minute. You know, like the best she's ever gone, I think. The older she gets, the better she's getting.
She's got box 3 in the final, which really doesn't matter for her. Fanta Bale, the favourite's out of box number 7, and you think she certainly is the one to beat.
Yeah, she's the one to beat by far. You know, like she's a real good bitch. She could run a track record, most probably, if she gets out and goes.
What are you going to do with Cindy's Magic between now and Thursday night, Bill?
Sit in the kettle.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, well...
No, I've put them up the straight a few other times and that, and done pin muscles and all that. And the best way is just to go race the race with them.
Well, I certainly look forward to seeing you, Bill. We'll have a chat on Sky Racing 1 on Thursday night prior to the race. But Cindy's Magic, we all love her. And let's just hope that she flies home, and goes one better than last year.
Yep.
Thank you for joining us, Bill.
Okay, thanks,
Dave. Thanks a lot.
Second placing Hope's Magic, then came Alpha Hermes, followed by Lauren's Best. I'm not going to say Cindy's Magic can't win. She's on a forward move now. But Split Image off the back by about 10 lengths. Cindy's Magic's charging home. They're followed by Hope's Magic. Around the corner they come. Split Image is the front runner. Cindy's Magic, here she comes, and there she goes. She got up. Cindy's Magic has nailed Split Image right on the line. Another sensational performance. Then came
just one of her fantastic wins, Cindy's Magic, and watch for her in the white rug in the Group 1 Gold Cup at Albion Park on Thursday night. Okay, well, Lukey Gatehouse is on the line now, the boss of the Brisbane Greyhound Racing Club, just days away from the Gold Cup final. Luke, good morning to you. It's always a fantastic night of chasing, and this year, as we've just heard, the People's Greyhound, Cindy's Magic, is going to get a stack of extra people through the gates.
Yeah, good morning, Disco. Great to talk to you on a Monday morning. It's nice and warm up here in Bris Vegas.
Well, let's hope the weather holds. How excited are you ahead of Thursday night?
It's going to be a great night. We've got two really nice finals, the Listed Flying Amy Classic for the young greyhounds, and then the big Group 1, the UBET Gold Cup, is going to be a super race.
Well, Sandown Cup champion Fanta Bale was sensational in her heat, Luke. Clocked 41.66 from box 8 in her first race in Brisbane. And the Rob Britton-trained stayer has drawn 7 in the final. She's going to be very, very hard to beat from that draw where she can lead the race from.
Yeah, I think only misfortune will stop Fanta Bale from becoming a Sandown Cup Albion Park Gold Cup champion, and the $1.70 suggests that the punters are right on the money there too.
Yeah, well, Luke, that's where your head is, but what about your heart with Cindy's Magic?
Oh, yeah, everybody will be cheering for Cindy. She's a Group 3 winner, and she deserves a Group 1. It's amazing she hasn't won at that level and still won around about $400,000 in prize money.
Yeah. Fellow Victorian, like Fanta Bale, a Victorian visitor, Dundee Calypso has drawn 1 in the final, clocked 42.02 at her Albion Park debut. That was the one that Cindy's Magic flashed home in for second, while Western Australia's Teddy Minnelli won the other Gold Cup heat in 42.03. The Cup final is race 6 on the card. Fanta Bale's a current favourite with tab.com.au fixed odds $1.65. Dundee Calypso $3.60. Cindy's Magic $5.50. And Teddy Minnelli $9.50. Luke, as you mentioned, race 8 this Thursday night is the Listed Flying Amy Classic for the sprinters. Jackson Benz for Gary Peterson set the time standard in a flying 29.72. Tony Brett's in form Opal Nera also broke 30, 29.94. Jackson Benz, the $1.85 favourite for the final. Who do you think is going to take it out?
Well, Jackson Benz was $11 in the all-in market, and that was a bit of a gift, and particularly when Tony Brett's dog didn't make it to the final. Coming up with box two with Shoes to Fill a Slow beginning on the inside, he just has to jump and it's all over, 29.70. Nothing will run past him.
Yeah, you were talking about Tony Brett's fast times there. Opal Near is really chasing in outstanding form. Won the consolation prior to the return to Brisbane at Richmond, the consolation of the Richmond Riches. Opal Near, and with Tony Brett as the conditioner, is one you really got to keep safe.
Yeah, nice dog, and it improved about three lengths, I think, on its first run at Albion Park when it won last week. So an improving greyhound, but I just think this Jackson Benz, he's really something out of the box, this greyhound.
Okay. Well, Luke, you've always got good promotions at Albion Park. What have you got planned for this Thursday night?
Well, just for you, Disco, we've got the Country and Western Night. It's going to be an absolute cracker. We've got the Keith Urban Experience.
Oh.
They'll be live trackside, and not only does he look like Keith Urban, he sounds like Keith Urban. We'll have you up to ride the bucking bull machine,
Is
all part of the Country Experience.
I'll be looking forward to that,
and we'll all be in our lumberjack gear.
That's it. Just call me Baller Bill. Baller Bill, that'll be my name. I'll be getting up there and doing my balling best. But Keith Urban, I got a little story, little side story to tell you about Keith. Back in the late 1980s, early 90s, I worked for a radio station in Brisbane for FM 104 Triple M, and we used to put on promotions over summer at some of the big pubs in southeast Queensland, and we had a band, and the band were called Rusty and the Ayres Rockettes, and they sang cover versions of popular songs, and they put in some comical lyrics, and they had a young guitarist, a really nice young guy, 19 years of age in the band, and that was Keith Urban. Can you believe that?
Well, there you go. I remember Rusty and the Ayres Rockettes. It's showing both our ages there, though.
Well, we were both young at the time, but Keith was the guitarist. How about that, Luke?
There you go. That's a fact I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen him since. It'd be nice. He's a tremendous fella, so I'm sure he hasn't changed a little bit. Now, getting back to greyhound racing, Luke, there's plans for an Albion Park upgrade, they were revealed in the past week with no greyhound track, but yet another move for a new track or tracks in southeast Queensland were announced. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, the greyhound and harness facilities, they've been an ongoing study over the last few months that Racing Queensland's commissioned. Used Deloitte as a consultant firm, consulted with both the harness and greyhound industries, and overwhelmingly from the greyhound industry, there was the desire for two new facilities in southeast Queensland, standalone greyhound facilities, one in the southeast corridor and one in the western corridor. And Racing Queensland have indicated their desire as the owner of Albion Park to upgrade that block of land, which is a very valuable block of land, and not have racing there anymore. So that's the position of Racing Queensland. We support that as the Greyhound Club because, you know, being inside a harness track and also at Albion Park, where to upgrade the facility will cost an absolute stack, we believe we're better served going to a new venue, new track, new facilities in a growing demographic of people that will enjoy greyhound racing.
Fantastic news, Luke. I mean, look, we can be excused for being a little bit cynical. We all know what went on with Logan and the back down there, despite almost a decade and a half since the promise of a new track to replace the Gold Coast. But you sound pretty confident that this could very well go ahead.
Well, the greyhound industry has a fair bit of healthy cynicism over any promises that are made. But, you know, we have to keep the faith that this administration of Racing Queensland will keep to those promises. There's still about $50 million of infrastructure money that needs to be committed and spent in the next 12 to 18 months, and then another 50 or 60 before 2023. So we believe it's the greyhound's turn. There's been a lot of money put into thoroughbred facilities, nothing into greyhound racing, as you said, since 2008. And you know, the industry is growing rapidly up here in terms of wagering revenue, and we need to see something coming back to the industry.
And you guys at Albion Park in particular do a fantastic job, Luke. Well, look, thank you for keeping us up to date. Well, hopefully we'll get you on the catching pen tomorrow evening as well. And I look forward to seeing you on track for what is going to be a wonderful night. The carnival's in full swing after this Thursday night. The following Thursday, we've got the Super Stayers final. And then the Winter Cup final, which will be decided on the first Thursday night in July, Luke.
Yeah, it should be a cracking night too. We're expecting some really good greyhounds up for the Winter Cup. So looking forward to the next few weeks of racing at headquarters.
Good on you, Luke. Thanks for joining us. I'll see you on the bucking Bronco on Thursday night. And no cameras allowed, OK?
No cameras, Disco. It'll be after the last for you.
Good on you, Luke. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, bye.
There's Luke Gatehouse, the boss of the Brisbane Greyhound Racing Club. Well, we're going to hop across the Tasman right now, and New Zealand's leading greyhound journalist Peter Fenimore joins us. Pete, Australia's Ring the Bell too good in yesterday's Group 1 Duke of Edinburgh Silver Collar final at Manukau, defeating Kiwi champ Shandell by 11 and three-quarter lengths in 46 and 22. How good was it to be on track and see that?
Absolutely super, Dave. It was a privilege to be able to watch a greyhound of the quality of Ring the Bell. And, hey, you've got to absolutely admire Shandell. She's a rising five-year-old. But, the other seven greyhounds were always running for the minus, Dave.
Ring the Bell emerged early in the race from box number four and really put it to bed a long way from home. Shandell, as you said, chased hard, but the gap, it was just too big to bridge.
No, for sure. Actually, Jerry O'Keefe, of course, Ring the Bell's trainer, he did say to me straight after the race, when Shandell won the break, and went, oh my God, Shandell's in front. She's a previous star. How are we going to run her down? Well, I'll tell you what, Ring the Bell had the situation under control with just over a lap to run.
Yep. The son of Kinloch Bray, an absolute stunner from box four. The end put on a clinic. Look, that's a tremendous performance for a dog backing up over what is a really grueling journey, Pete, 779 metres.
It's a tough assignment, Dave. And look, I've been privileged enough to see a lot of the collars, and we see fantastic efforts in the heats. We've even seen track records, but those dogs have floundered when the requirement to back up 7 days later over that extreme trip. It didn't phase Ring the Bell whatsoever. In fact, Jerry O'Keefe was absolutely spot on what he said to me in a pre-race interview. He said, look, I believe the dog is capable of getting around 46 and 20 because he ran 46 and 31 in the heat. He duly did so.
Indeed, yeah, the winning time again was 46 and 22. Well, Pete spoke to Jerry prior to the race. New Zealand trackside's Lizzie Whelan caught up with Jerry O'Keefe straight after the win. Let's have a listen to that.
Absolutely over the moon, so proud of the old boy. He's going to retire eventually here in New Zealand with Jenny, who led the parade out with Thrilling Brett. And so, I'm over the moon. This is fantastic.
And, of course, you've got a few Australian supporters over as well.
Yes, but whatever happens, happens. But didn't want to raise expectations high, but our hopes were always high. God, I love New Zealand.
I bet he loves it even more now. And the frothy syndicate, all the boys, they were having a great time. And Ring the Bell, as you've told us, Pete, still going to remain in New Zealand now?
Yeah, that's correct, Dave. Just touch back on the Frothy Syndicate, of course. Two of the boys were across here yesterday. And speaking to Jerry this morning, Thane Green, of course, he was involved in the ownership, the champion mayor, Sunlight. He took them into the Auckland casino last night, and apparently he pulled them on their flight at Auckland Airport 6 a.m. this morning back to Melbourne. So
yes.
The victory was well celebrated, and yesterday, as we're speaking, Ring the Bell is currently flying to Christchurch. He will go into the care of Ray Adcock and prepare for the New Zealand Stayers Cup and the Group 1 finals on June the 30th.
Fantastic. Pete, just before we let you go, last Friday, Hattrick hosted some heats of another New Zealand feature race.
Yeah, the Group 1 New Zealand Breeders, of course, just strictly open to the New Zealand bred greyhounds, restricted age. Three heats there, and we saw three trainers completely and utterly dominating those heats. Lisa Cole, Karen Walsh, and Dave and Jean Fay. And between them, they will comprise the entire field for the Group 1 this Friday.
Fantastic. Well, Pete Fenimore, we look forward to following your tips on the Sky Racing website as we bring plenty of New Zealand greyhound racing to Australian screens. And as always, Pete, great to catch up with you.
Absolute pleasure, Dave. Cheers, mate.
Pete Fenimore from New Zealand. Now, since our last show, the second round of what is an extremely grueling series, the English Derby, has been contested at Toaster with a shock defeat since we last went to air, and the Irish Chasers holding court. Here's Julie Collier with the wrap.
Well, we had two nights of shocks and controversy in the second round of the English Derby at Toaster last weekend. It started with the very pacey DeRosa's Wildcat, one of my three to follow, going out of the competition, and Drupis Benucci, a young promising pup for Dean Charles, soon followed him. There was also a disqualification for Mad About Owen, who turned and fought Bubbly Turbo, unfortunately causing that dog to also be eliminated when he looked to be in a really strong qualifying position. Irish runner Claire's Rocket, who was the anti-post favourite, he won that race as a result. And the luck was with the Irish again when Pyrochet, a strong running greyhound, pinned the lid and broke the track record, recording 28.72 for his delighted owner trainer, PJ Fahey. In my opinion, Pyrochet is now a serious contender to win the Derby outright. Indeed, with most bookmakers here, he is now the outright favourite. We look forward to seeing him in the third round on Saturday night. The second night of the second round saw yet more upsets, as my long-time fancy Bubbly Bluebird was eliminated after a massive bout of bad luck. As many of last week's early pace greyhounds were failing to show the same pinging ability a second week in a row, Bubbly Bluebird broke well and led to the first bend. The cheers went up for the popular syndicate-owned dog, who then got his back legs taken from him going into the first bend. He rallied well to get his nose back in front down the back straight, only to find more trouble. He'd run his race by then, and unfortunately, he went out of the Derby. King Kid and Judith Wilby were other big names to leave the competition. As we head towards the third round next Saturday, it's looking more and more likely that we'll be an Irish winner here in England.
Sláinte to that. Julie Collier, we thank you very much for the latest on the English Derby, and we'll continue to keep you updated right through until the final, which is going to be run on Sunday morning, July the 2nd, our time. Well, Russell Veitch is with me in the studio. That's it for another Going Greyhounds, Veitchy. Myself, Dave Stanley, the catching pen tomorrow evening at 6:30 on Sky Racing 2.
Looking forward to it, David. And Cindy's Magic reminds me of that New Zealand greyhound, Swift Fantasy, quite a few years ago now. Dropped right out and roared home from the back, giving them an unbelievable start. And Cindy's Magic, looking forward to all the coverage on Sky Racing coming up for that one. And the Red V in the round to complete around the round of the NRL today, up against, of course, the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, $1.42, tab.com.au, the Dragons. How are they going to go today, Dave?
Oh, they're going to kill them. They're going to absolutely kill them. I've got so many mates who go for the Bulldogs, including a few of their old players. Good morning, Barry Ward and Dave Thompson. Boys, you're not going to be happy today, because I reckon it's the Dragons' day. I'm going to head to I might go to a pub. The Lord Roberts at East Sydney. That's the place to go, where you're red and white. And then I'm going to watch the mighty Dragons absolutely give the Dogs distemper.
Well, I think we're 7.5, giving away the 7.5, $1.80. That looks money for jam. $1.42 head-to-head as well, Dave, so perhaps get on there.
There go the blood and bandages, the mighty Saints.
You enjoy your public holiday. Thanks for your time and a wonderful show today. I'm Going Greyhounds with Dave Carlson, folks, as we approach 11 o'clock here on Sky Sports Radio.